This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
LA is on fire. Why do communists do this? Why is this happening now? What should Trump do about it? We'll talk about that tonight. We'll talk about the fights Elon and Trump had in public. We have journalists on the ground in LA. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, so let's just go and strap yourself in now. Let's talk about what's happening in Los Angeles and why it's happening and what we should do about it. And we're just going to take a little while here and cover everything. First and foremost, let's get some basics out of the way first. And these basics may seem redundant, especially if you watch I'm Right with us every night. We hope you do. But unless you understand these basics, you'll never understand anything else you see. If you don't get what we're about to talk about, you'll always be shocked. You'll wake up shocked, confused. You'll say things like, I don't understand why they, I can't believe they're. Do you start out sentences like that? Well, if you do, it's just because you don't understand the basics yet. So let's talk quickly about the basics. First, communists are fighting a revolution. But what does that mean? Talk about that all the time. It's a revolution against everything. I know that sounds overwhelming and crazy, but it really is against everything. The entire basis for their thinking, remember, these are all malcontents. It's the religion of the malcontent, after all. The entire basis of their thinking is everything that exists, all everything. It's all bad. It's all evil. It's all unequal. And therefore, everything has to be burnt down, no matter what it is. It could be the Boy Scouts. It could be Los Angeles. It could be NFL football, the university system, medicine. It doesn't matter. Sesame Street. When the communist sees something that currently exists, the communist wants to burn it down. Now, there are many different ways to fight a revolution, and revolutionaries generally try to use as many of those ways as humanly possible. One of the main ways they do it is chaos in the streets. Chaos, cars burning, anarchy, violence, and this they do for a variety of reasons. One, you ever seen a toddler in the grocery store? Maybe you have one of those toddlers. Maybe you've been that toddler before in your younger days. You ever have a toddler get told no when they ask for the Rice Krispie treats? You ever see a toddler freak out, flip out, throw themselves on the ground, start screaming and yelling bloody murder? I actually saw this yesterday in the grocery store. Ah, I thought somebody was being stabbed. I was at the other end of the aisle and the screaming was so loud, I turned, I had my weapon on my hand. Nobody was being stabbed. 2-3-year-old child that had been told no for something, I don't know what, screaming and yelling. And you know what mom was doing as this child was screaming and yelling? Mom wasn't bending down, snatching them up by the arm and informing them that it would be a really good idea to stop. Mom was doing everything in her power to calm the child. It's okay, honey, no, it's okay, shh. Why? Well, mom's embarrassed. Mom's embarrassed. Everybody's looking. I was looking. I was 200 feet away. I was looking. Everyone's looking. What's going on? Oh, look at... Mom is embarrassed. Mom feels uncomfortable. The noise, the fit of rage from the toddler is making mom feel uncomfortable. And in that exact moment, because she's uncomfortable, because she's embarrassed, because everybody's watching, mom can be tempted, it can be very, very tempting to just give the toddler whatever the toddler wants to make the embarrassment stop, make the uncomfort stop. We need to make the screaming stop. That is a huge reason communists have always loved protests and rioting and things like that. Eventually, normal people, you, me, we wake up, we're watching this stuff. Maybe you're living it right now in Los Angeles and you just want it to stop. Stop the burning, stop the craziness, just whatever they want. Maybe Trump should just leave LA. No more deportations. We have to make this stop. That is a huge reason why the communist does what he does. And let's remember this. Always remember this. The more anarchy and crime and things like that that happen in a society, the more people feel uncomfortable. It aids the communist. That's why he does it on purpose. That's why he prosecutes the crime fighters and defends the criminals. The Soviet Union did the exact same thing. Did you know that? Exact same thing. They let out everybody from the jails. If you were a career criminal, you get off scot-free. If you're a good person trying to stop them, they'll throw you in the gulag. Exact same thing. It creates an environment ripe for revolution. Now let's go more specifically to Los Angeles. And this is a good time to remind you that Democrats brought these people in on purpose, as you see foreign flags fly around. But anyway, we come back to that. In Los Angeles, we have something called the Coalition for Humane Human Rights. CHURLA. What is that? Well, it's a communist front group. You don't think the rioting Democrats are always doing in this country, you didn't think all that was organic, did you? That's what they want you to think. Did you know that? You've seen it many times before. St. George Floyd, all those riots come to mind, of course. But it's happening again right now. What the communists want you to think always is that good people, normal people, they're sitting there, they're watching the television, they're watching social media, and they're so outraged by something the right is doing, Trump is doing, that they get up off the couch, and in a righteous fit of anger, they leave to go fight back against fascism, against authoritarian, you know, things like that. But none of that's true at all. You see, there's something else that goes all the way back to the Soviet Union, East Germany, China. Communists, in order to create that impression, to create the impression of organic outrage from normal people, they pay for and organize riots. 99% of communist riots you see in this country are not in any way organic. They are paid for and organized. Many of the signs actually have the group who paid for them printed on the signs. The shields they're carrying. Have you seen any of these shields they're carrying? It takes time to make those. Did you know that? It doesn't just happen overnight. People have already dug into the research of this. It takes 3-4 hours to make one of those shields. This stuff is not organic. These communist front groups get money. They take that money and they give that money. Well, they use that money like an army uses the money. They use it for weapons, materials, shields. They use it for training. Did you know they go through training? Sounds weird to someone like you or me, right? Because I never went through any training at all. I ran for Congress twice and nobody ever trained me. Hey, is there a class? Maybe they should have. Maybe I would have won. But there was no training. I haven't had any training. They do go through training. They sit down in classes and they learn, this is what we chant. This is why we chant it. This is how we make weapons. This is how we do. Don't do this. Do that. Push. They go through training. These groups are paid for, trained, and organized. They're an invading army. And maybe that begs the question, who's paying for it? If they're paid for, is it all George Soros? We love that name, but me too. It's you. And it's me. On top of communist agitation in this country being paid for and organized, it's paid for and organized by the American taxpayer. This group, we know this now from reporting people like Jennifer Van Laar, who will be joining us in a few moments. We know that this group, it has almost all of its funding, I believe 96%, from the taxpayer. And this is how it works in the United States of America. Democrats get elected. Maybe it's a city like Los Angeles. Maybe it's a state like California. Maybe it's the federal government. Democrats get elected, and part of their job, how they view their job, is finding a way to take taxpayer money that should be used for the good of the country, protection of the country, finding a way to take taxpayer money and handing it out to communist front groups who will then street riot on behalf of it. It's a gigantically evil, evil system but it's how these people operate. They, wherever they take power, they look at the treasury of Los Angeles, of California, of the United States of America, and they see an opportunity to pay for mercenaries to push the communist revolution forward. Now, why are you just hearing about things like that on this show? You're hearing about things like that on this show because the American media, who should be exposing things like that, they should have exposed it decades ago, they love it. You see, that brings us to another point about all this. Remember that communists, they don't have anything that goes above their religion. They're not political. They're not ideological. They are religious. Let me ask you something. Are you a religious person? Do you believe in things? Do you, maybe you're a Christian, do you believe in Jesus? Is there ever a situation, whether you're at work, family, no matter what you're doing, where you set Jesus aside? Hey, you know what? I'm done with this Jesus thing. I'm not a Christian for a couple hours while I'm at work, then I'll put my hat back on. Of course not. Everything is secondary to that, right? Well, the communist operates the same way. No matter what his role is, no matter what, whether he's a school teacher, a librarian, a city councilman, a general in the military, doesn't matter how important the role is, the communist is a communist first. That communism frames his entire worldview, and whatever his other role happens to be, it is secondary to communism. Have you ever wondered why the media covers these things like this?
Demonstrations have been going on right outside the federal detention center. Most of those demonstrators were very peaceful. They were chanting, they were shouting. People were driving by honking their horns. And again, they were expressing their anger about the detention of so many immigrants at the federal center.
Peaceful? Seems like they've covered riots like this before in the exact same way. Oh yeah, they did.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest. It is not, generally speaking, unruly.
What you're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations that have been burning in Kenosha, Wisconsin, over the course of the night. A second night since Jacob Blake was seen shot in the back 7 times by a police officer. And what you are seeing now, these images came and come in stark contrast to what we saw over the course of the daytime hours in Kenosha and into the early evening, which were largely peaceful demonstrations in the face of law enforcement.
Why do they cover it like that? Well, it's quite simple. If, are you a parent? Or do you want to be a parent one day? I want you to picture that you are a parent, or maybe you are. And let's just say your child was caught throwing eggs at the school at night. You would probably, when you're telling friends or family or neighbors about that, after your child got caught, would you say, this little monster, this little criminal, he was caught throwing eggs. Kid's probably going to be a dirtball, end up in prison one day, vandalizing property like that. Would you cover it like that? No, of course you wouldn't. That's your baby. Even if you're angry about it, even if they got grounded, got their phone taken away. Well, you know what Bobby did? He got with some friends. He's got these terrible friends. You know, they're a bad element, but Bobby's a good kid. And on Friday night, they threw some eggs at the school. And, you know, I cracked down on Bobby. He's so sorry. He's just never going to do... How would you cover it? How would you talk about that with friends, family, and neighbors? Well, that's how the American media, that's how they talk about communist riots and communist street animals in this country. And they talk about them. If there is a white man, a Republican, Donald Trump, well, that's the bad kid. That's the bad guy. You can smear and crush him with your narrative. And sure, that's the bad element. But when it's a communist street animal, when it's some illegal torching an LAPD cop car, you understand that that guy's yours. You're his. There's a revolution afoot, and you have to protect said revolution. So you'll stand in front of a burning building with a straight face and tell the American people how peaceful the entire thing is. That's why they cover things the way they cover things. And one final note on this before we move on and talk to journalists and other things about it. I want to remind you of something, and I want to be crystal clear about this. Have you spent the last few days maybe watching us here on the First or social media, or have you been angry about the flying of the Mexican flag in an American city as they loot and torch and do horrible things? Of course you've been angry. I've been angry myself. Got my blood pressure up one night. Wife had to calm me down. I'm angry. You're angry. We're angry about this. Well, I want to remind you that Democrats spent 4 years bringing in as many foreigners as they possibly could. It wasn't a whoopsie. They didn't do it because they're nice. They brought in as many foreign barbarians as they possibly could to destroy your country. And while Democrats were bringing those people into your country, destroying your country on purpose, there is a cabal, not a huge one, but big enough, a cabal of Republican senators and congressmen from red states who helped them do it at every turn and try to help them do it some more. Do I need to remind you that last year, this is not ancient history, last year, after Joe Biden and the savages in his administration had imported 20 million barbarians into your country, red state Republican Senator James Lankford joined with Democrats to try to ensure they could bring in more and to try to hand out more amnesty for illegals. Now, why would he do something so suicidal, so politically suicidal in a state like Oklahoma? Well, James Lankford knows exactly how to play the game, you see. The game is simply this. When you are far from an election as a senator, they only have an election once every 6 years. When you're far from an election, you screw over the voters every chance you get. Keeps your pockets lined. But then, when it gets closer to the election, you simply go on television and you lie and you pretend to be some sort of an immigration hardliner. 1 year ago, James Lankford was working with Chuck Schumer to amnesty millions of foreign barbarians to put your cities to the torch. On Sunday, he was on television saying this.
What President Trump is trying to do is say, this is not going to take weeks this time. We're not going to allow this to be able to spiral out of control. This is an American city. And to be able to have an American city where we have people literally flying Mexican flags and saying, you cannot arrest us, cannot be allowed. If someone violates the law, no matter what state that they're in, they're in violation of a federal law, they should face consequences for that.
Don't be fooled again. They do it all the time. They do it in, look, I'm not picking on Oklahoma. They do this in Texas. They do this in the Carolinas, Louisiana, the Dakotas, Wyoming, Montana. You name the red state, the red state senators play this game. They'll do something terrible to you. They'll think you'll forget. And then they run on television talking tough as it gets closer to election season. I haven't forgot about you, James, and don't think I will. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, we're going to talk to some journalists. Before we talk to some journalists, I want to talk to you about sleeping. How do you sleep? I slept so good last night. We had been gone, got back home, it had been a long, stressful day. We were road tripping. I'd had so much caffeine. I knew that I needed a little help, so I reached for some dream powder from Beam. Oh, I love this stuff. It's natural. That's maybe what I love. I know there are things that help you sleep, all kinds of things, but how many of them are a cup of hot chocolate with natural things in it? That's Beam. You'll drift off to sleep, sleep like an itty-bitty tiny baby every single night, and you'll wake up feeling good. Go to shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back. All right, so we talked in the opening, we've talked many times about how virtually all the crazy protests and violence and riots you see are paid for and organized. That's my job, to tell you things like that. But we need an actual journalist to tell you more details than that. Paid for by whom? Joining me now, managing editor of the wonderful Red State, my friend Jennifer Vanlar. Okay, Jen, who exactly is, hold on, I want to make sure I get this right because the names always crack me up. The Humane Immigration Rights Group. or coalition or something like that.
Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights is one of, is what I want to call, I guess, the head of the snake or whatever terminology you want to use for that, CHIRLA. There's a bunch of groups within their coalition, including the Party for Socialism. I'd have to look, it's PSL, but it's basically a communist group, a very communist group that they also work with. But the main thing about CHIRLA's involvement with what's happening in LA, so first let me set the stage a little bit. This Angelica Salas, who's their executive director, she spoke Friday afternoon in downtown LA with at least four LA City Council members with her, Congress people, state representatives, all decrying these, what they were calling random immigration sweeps that had no type of judicial warrant with them. They said they were just looking for blank people that were brown or looked like they were immigrants, which we all know is bunk. So she stirred it up with basically giving people the impression that the government officials of LA were behind them in doing this. And her group, in the year ending 2023, had $34 million out of their $45 million in revenue coming from government sources. 96% of that $34 million was from the state of California. So it's literally taxpayer-funded riots.
Okay, I'm going to rewind a couple things just because I want people to get details, and you always have the good, juicy details. You said she was giving the impression that these nutball California communist politicians were with them. Is it just an impression, or are they with them?
They are with them, but what I meant by that is she's giving the impression that this is sanctioned, government-sanctioned violence for them to create, to commit upon the federal government, and that the state government is behind them. And judging by their comments, they really are. I feel like Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass are trying to bait Donald Trump into going in with a heavy hand so that they can be martyrs for their cause, and it's just extremely chaotic.
Okay, Karen Bass in particular, LA Mayor Karen Bass, for those not aware, she came out and, of course, blamed Trump for it. Here she was.
What we're seeing in LA is chaos caused by the administration. People should exercise their right to protest. That's their First Amendment right. But people should also exercise that right peacefully. We do not want to play into the administration's hands. We're working with officials, we're organizing resources, but what we're seeing in Los Angeles is chaos that is provoked by the administration.
There's a lot of Karen Bass's background that people don't know about, Jen. Does she have any specific connections to this group? Does she have connections to other communist groups? Because she's got an ugly past herself.
Oh, she does. She went to Cuba to train, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name of the brigade that she trained with back in the 70s. She is a full-on communist. She also has connections to CHIRLA. She proudly stated that she's been with them since the beginning when she toured their new huge building in downtown LA in 2024.
Jen, you mentioned that they want to be martyrs. And this is, I believe, what do communists call this? Decision dilemma, I believe, is the term they use for it. They do these kinds of things because you either let them behave like the savages they are, or you crack down on them and give some bad press. But is it bad press anymore? Because I don't see any support for these people around the country the way there was with the animals after the George Floyd riots.
Right. And even within California, there's not a lot of support among them. We're about to run a story at Red State about this. I think it's a Salvadoran restaurant in Compton where the legal immigrants there who own it took in injured sheriff's deputies and police officers during the riots and fed them and gave them water. So it's not, even within Compton, it's not a monolith. And within the rest of California, it's not. Most of this all happened within probably a 5 square mile radius of downtown LA, and the rest of LA, and we're suffering because we have fewer, obviously, cop cars available or cops personally available because they're out dealing with this. But really, the chaos is confined to this area, and a lot of Californians, I believe it's up to 70% of Californians, want illegal aliens gone because they're crowding up all of our housing. They're taking massive sums of taxpayer dollars to either have their entitlements or to deal with the crime that comes from it. We want them gone.
Jen, I saw actually before, credit to you once again, before it really, really popped off over there, you were giving people a heads up to get out of specific areas. What specific areas and why those specific areas?
Well, basically that 5 mile radius around downtown, and then the Santa Monica Boulevard corridor going down to Santa Monica, because that's where all of the people, that's, we know that that's where they congregate. Whenever there's any issue, it doesn't matter what the lefty issue is, it's going to be the same people out there causing chaos in the same areas. They started getting down towards Santa Monica, and thank goodness that was thwarted on Saturday night. But it's the same area. And we knew that Newsom was going to hesitate to call in the National Guard, just like he did in 2020. I think he waited 3 days before he activated the National Guard and the George Floyd riots. And so I'm glad that President Trump is taking quick action here and not letting Newsom get away with just kind of ignoring things and saying it's all fine.
What is Newsom's game here? Is he stuck in an impossible situation, and that for the rest of the country, if he wants to be president, he is going to have to crack down on these things, but he's not going to be the Democrat nominee if he cracks down on these things? Does it really just come down to that?
I mean, if he's in an impossible situation, it's because he put himself there. All he had to do was say, look, we're California. We don't help with the federal government doing this, but you can't stand in their way of doing it. If you don't like it, we need to change the laws. But he could very well end up being arrested. I feel like he wants Trump to arrest him now. And our mutual friend Kira Davis had just opined, hey, you know, I don't think that Gavin's going to get the martyr look out of this that he wants if Trump arrests him. There's a lot of Californians that would love to see him in handcuffs and perp walked.
Thank you, Jen. I appreciate you. Come back soon. Good job.
Thank you.
All right. Somebody who knows a little bit of something about this kind of thing is Liz Collins. She is, of course, frequent guest on the show, journalist who is in the heart of all the St. George Floyd riots. I bet Liz has some things to say about what's going on. But first, I have some things to say to you about Pure Talk, about supporting the vets. And see, I realize it's June and it's Rainbow Month now. Not at Pure Talk, it's not. Even back when all the crazy George Floyd stuff was happening and all the big corporations of the world were putting up the St. George Floyd stuff, we love Black Lives Matter, Pure Talk wasn't. Oh, Verizon does that stuff all the time, AT&T, T-Mobile. Do you pay those companies to trash your country? Are you funding the trash of your country? If you have Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, you are. Pure Talk doesn't do that. Pure Talk's veteran-led by a Vietnam veteran. They love our vets. They support our country. They support our values. And I pay half of what I used to pay. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Senator, the L.A. County police say that they have it under control.
There wasn't anything like a riot happening on Friday, Saturday.
But remember, a lot of these peaceful protests are being generated because the President of the United States is sowing chaos and confusion by arresting people who are showing up for their immigration hearings.
Large group of people. It could turn very volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way and turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn into a massive confrontation and altercation between officers and demonstrators.
The media covering for another communist street riot. If only something like that had happened before in this country. It almost seems like it did. I don't know. Let's ask Liz about it. Joining me now, the great Liz Collins, investigative reporter for Alpha News. Liz, man, I'm not even that old, although I am getting gray and bald, and I feel like I remember coverage like this before. Do I remember that right?
I think you're absolutely right, and I think perhaps I have gray hair after living through that from 5 years ago as well. It really is like Groundhog Day, I think, for so many of us in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area for watching this play out in L.A. You have the same rhetoric, right, the same buzzwords that are being spewed by the mainstream media, almost as if nothing was learned from just 5 years ago in Minneapolis. Politicians, again, fanning the flames. waiting for the facts to play out. And we actually had kind of a similar situation. People were trying to spark this just a few days ago in Minneapolis. You had the federal government. This was a HSI raid, Homeland Security investigations. They went into multiple businesses across the Twin Cities. This is related to a cartel-linked investigation, human smuggling, hundreds of pounds of fentanyl, we're hearing from our sources. Instead of letting law enforcement go in and do their jobs, you had the socialist-controlled city council of Minneapolis go ahead and put the word out to their activist friends to fight these officers at every turn, really creating a spectacle just last week in Minneapolis and waiting for the facts to play out. And then you have the rhetoric from the governor of Minnesota talking about how chaotic this was. Now you have the Minneapolis Police Department bowing down once again. They're saying now that no Minneapolis police personnel shall respond to any immigration enforcement related activities. They cannot assist with crowd control. This is just a memo that came out, I should say, just a couple of days after all of this in Minneapolis. And you're right, Jesse, I think there's a lot of concern. We kind of take our orders from California, it seems, in a way, politically here in Minnesota. So I think people are watching this all closely here.
Liz, we'll take a step back from these specific stories for a moment and zoom out a little bit. It's so weird for me to hear that about Minnesota taking its cues from California. I realize Minnesota can be a little bonkers politically, Jesse the Body Ventura and whatnot, but I mean, I grew up pike fishing in Minnesota. It would just never struck me as Southern California, not Los Angeles, but gosh, in some ways it seems as bad or worse. How did that happen?
Excellent question. And we'll have to go perhaps fishing for walleye or bass. That's what I prefer, Jesse, here in the land of 10,000 lakes. But I think you're right that it's the land of 10,000 lies. It's kind of how I refer to it now politically, which is really, really sad, I think, for so many of us to see. You have a radical element that the media seems to give so much of a platform to, and these activist groups have done so much damage in the metro, and also have created, I think, some fear. We saw that 5 years ago, certainly a fear for other people speaking out and pushing back, and we're living the consequences of all that now to this day.
Liz, what parallels are you seeing beyond the politician rhetoric between LA and Minnesota? Because from the outside looking in, and now that we get more and more details, it looks like all this stuff is paid for and organized. It never felt organic to me when they were throwing bricks for St. George Floyd. It doesn't feel organic now. This is all just paid for, right?
Yeah, in the wake of the George Floyd riots, it was 1,500 businesses either damaged or destroyed. So many of them never rebuilt and left town for good reason. But you definitely did see the outside money pouring into all of this. It's interesting, just in the news now here years later, you have these activist groups sort of crop up in the wake to take the place of law enforcement. Again, the Minneapolis Police Department down still nearly 40% from where it once was. These violence interrupters groups or these peace activists, if you will. Some of them were actually just criminally indicted last week. So we see the fraud on a mass scale here in Minnesota, and a lot of these groups are perpetuating that, kind of knowing that this is a place where people can be, you know, taken advantage of. Let's see how long we get away with this. And in some areas, thankfully, this is finally catching up to them.
Liz, there are places in the country that appear to be ready to bounce back somewhat politically. They've kind of cratered out a little bit, and the people are waking up because they're tired of the crime, tired of the car gets broken into every night. Surely Minnesota's on the cusp of something like that, right?
I think so. I mean, I think that, you know, I walked away and left mainstream media a few years ago, just sort of sick and tired of these narratives. But I will say that I'm constantly kind of we're constantly getting news tips or constantly thanked for speaking up. And I think that is kind of indicative of the time here. You do see people more organized and being willing to push back. Something happening at our state capitol just today, in fact. They are voting to take away health care from illegal immigrants. That conversation is happening, and you have people protesting that in Minnesota, despite the vast majority of people in polling not supporting giving illegals free health care in Minnesota. But I do see the pendulum swinging back to sanity. So there is hope, Jesse.
All right. Speaking of hope, Derek Chauvin, he's back in the news. He's back in the news because the rumor mill, I don't know that it's more substantive than that, seems to be flying that he might get himself a pardon. What have you heard? Your sources are better than mine.
Yeah, we were following all of these developments as well, that perhaps President Trump would grant Derek Chauvin a pardon right around that five-year anniversary mark of the George Floyd riots, the death and heart attack of George Floyd, as we refer to it, which is exactly what it was. This is all really was always about facts, this case, getting out the facts and pointing out the lies. I always say it's never up to me as far as a pardon being issued or whatnot. But it is a bit of a relief to see people pushing for that. This is the case involving four police officers. We, in fact, just put out a series a couple of weeks ago now that I encourage people to watch on thefallofminneapolis.com. It's sort of the what has happened since, including an interview with Derek Chauvin, what has happened since, and including Alex King also, who was released from prison just a few months ago. The black police officer who arrested George Floyd that the media seemed to never want to talk about. Well, he's back actually in this area now, and we were there when he got off his airplane and greeted his mom again after spending nearly 3 years in prison as a young man, and what has happened since to the city and what has happened since to these families. So I encourage people to watch. We are expecting perhaps something later this fall as far as a state is kind of trying to go ahead and grant something, a new trial. He's still working on that, Derek Chauvin and his new attorney. So we continue to follow the developments there at thefallofminneapolis.com.
Liz, next walleye trip is on me. Fallofminneapolis.com. Go look at her stuff. I appreciate you, Liz. All right. I want to talk to you about something. All the political stuff we talk about all the time. Left versus right and the riots and the commies and all this other stuff. None of it is going to matter if we are not strong in making babies in this country. I know that's a little bit forward, but it's true. We have to make babies. We are not making enough children. May I interest you in chalk? Natural herbal supplements. Maybe you're interested in making babies. Maybe you're interested in just feeling better, stronger, your mind working better. You need testosterone, gentlemen. And testosterone is dropping. It's in the water. We drink it. We shower in it. Estrogen is in the water and it's killing us. Reverse it naturally. Every single day. Every day with breakfast. I eat my breakfast tacos, usually, and I wash it down with a male vitality stack from chalk. Over 3 years, I've been taking this every single day. I feel like I'm 25. You wanna feel like that? Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Okay. I was gone last week. I know you missed me. I missed you too terribly, but I had work things, okay? But I was gone last week and I didn't get the chance to address any of the Elon Musk, Donald Trump public spat and the fallout afterwards. So I'm not gonna rehash everything you already talked about, everything you already know, and it's kind of blown over now for the most part. But I feel obligated to say a couple things. First, this is predictable, terrible, but predictable. I told you a while ago, if you remember right, that Elon Musk was not going to last forever in the federal government. He's not that type of person. Guys like that they want to move quickly, efficiently. I'm actually neighbors with a guy who does a lot of work with Tesla. And among the other things he says they are unbelievably efficient, demanding timelines. You'll get this done, you'll get that done. He's not insulting them. They're just a very tightly run company. That's how Elon Musk runs things. a guy like that walks into the federal government and he can't move mountains quickly. I want that done. You do it. I want you fired. You go. That's how Elon Musk is used to operating. The government doesn't operate that way. A guy like that's going to get frustrated. He's going to get very, very frustrated if he can't get things done. He's going to leave. So that frustration was always going to come. Two alpha males, I hate to say that term, it's such an overused term, but when Donald Trump walks in a room, he's used to being the leader in the room, period. He always is. Elon Musk is the exact same way. When he walks in the room, everyone's looking at him. There are guys who are just, they're naturally going to be the leader of the room. That's good. Some people are like that. The problem is oftentimes in life, oftentimes, most of the time, guys like that have a very, very difficult time working with the other guy like that. Eventually, you're going to run into a situation where there's going to be friction. Okay? That's all I'm going to say about it for now. I don't like that they broke up because it was a great coalition for us against the left, but it was always going to happen. My point in having a conversation with you right now is not about that. It's about this. It's not about Elon Musk or Trump or politics, although it may be for you. I know that we live in the social media age now. I get it. I'm not going to do the angry Grandpa Jesse thing and complain about that. The genie's not going back in the lamp, right? Social media is out there. Everybody. Look me. I've got the Instagram and Twitter and all this other stuff. I get it. It's fine. But you don't have to put everything out there in public. And most things, even in this social media era, most things should remain private. But one thing that absolutely, positively should always, always, always remain private is disagreements with friends, family members, spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, employers, allies of any kind. Keep your disagreements private. Private. Send a text message. Hey, let's meet up for some nachos. Make a phone call. Go over to somebody's house. And you know what? I'm not telling you, everybody get along. That's naive. That's not how life works. Go argue. Fight. You're wrong about this. You're stupid. I hate you. Okay, fine. Privately. We watched as two of the most powerful men in the world threw poop at each other last week. And, you know, you're watching Elon Musk post now deleted things like Donald Trump's on the Epstein list. The reason you say things privately, you argue privately, is when you do it publicly in front of everybody, you make an enemy for life. I do not believe Trump or Elon will ever be allies ever again because of what Elon said. Maybe they'll half get along, but you call somebody a pedophile publicly, it's hard to walk that back. Don't trash your wife or your husband on Facebook. Don't trash your former employer, a coworker. If you have anybody in your orbit and you want to argue, do it privately. Everything doesn't have to be a spectator sport. Trust me, your life will be better. Why do you think Elon Musk deleted all that stuff? Do you think he woke up, most powerful, richest man in the world, think he woke up happy and proud that he put it all out on social media? No, he woke up mortified by what he'd done. Let it breathe and keep it off social media. All right, we have Light in the Mood. Next. So there is something, as we go into Light in the Mood here, there is something that I am enjoying a great deal. You see, to be a Democrat, to be an elected Democrat, I'm talking about the politicians, city council, Congress, things like that, you have to either have A, come from the street communist, the street animal background, meaning you used to do all that throwing poop at each other stuff in the streets, and then you ran for office, got elected. So we either have to A, come from that background, or B, if you don't come from that background, and most of them don't, most of them come from these wealthy, privileged backgrounds, you have to pretend to be one of those street animal types. You see this all the time. You've seen it at ICE facilities all across the country, always trying to act like they're being tough and revolutionaries and shoving their way in. But what makes me laugh is now Republicans have changed. This Donald Trump is much different than the last Donald Trump. We realize what we're dealing with here. Watching Maxine Waters get a door slammed in her face made me snicker something fierce.
No, I want you to... Hello, hello, hello. Congresswoman Waters, I just came to use my congressional authority to check on David.
Ma'am, our lobby is secure right now to all visitors.
Excuse me, I need to get in.
Contact our public apparel.
I need to get in.
I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.